Absolutely. But we're having such a good time with that tape. We're listening to Ohio right now. We're not listening to the Vietnam broadcast. So that's ended, and we found someone who has heard of that broadcast. So now we want to talk with you about that, and we also want to talk with you about support for KPFA. Mm-hmm. So with me, again, is Alexis and Russ, and we have a newcomer here. This is Doug.
Yes, I'll be Doug this morning.
You'll be Doug this morning, okay? Well, I'll be frank with you. Okay.
I got Doug the other night, man. It was bad.
Oh, you did? Hey, you don't want to get Doug too often, man. It's like,
I can't believe I'm not taping this.
Did you push the... Oh,
I need all... Yes. Need all the Doug jokes. Just like that.
Doug, you were telling us before the tape ended about similar, you know, experiences that you had with radio in Vietnam. Why don't you run that down?
Oh boy, where to start? No, actually, I just wanted to say that be one of the witnesses that these kinds of broadcasts were going on, and on all kinds of levels. I'm not sure exactly where this came from or how much power, although it was explained to me in the hallway that they were a permanent station. I was mostly involved with people who were broadcasting temporarily as pirate stations and running about the country, helping as they could the anti-military and anti-war effort at the time, which was quite strong by the time I got there, which was early 70s.
Early 70s.
It sounds like it was a permanent station. I don't think there's really any way to tell for sure.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He says he's from Saigon, but who knows?
Well, we've talked to a person in Alameda, right, who heard, so maybe mm-hmm. he'll come up later with some.
Dave Rabbit as it was then, and just had heard it. Of it or something.
Yeah, right, right.
But it seemed, you know, that it's not sure whether or not it was stationary or a stationary station. This big 69 gives you the feeling that they could have just, you know.
I'd sure like to find out, just because it seems that with all the sophisticated radio direction gear they had, I know that if you had an anti-war station going on, which I take this to be, I haven't listened to the whole broadcast yet, you could find them fairly quickly and stomp them out, I guess. So, I don't know. It's a lot like in Lebanon, I know they use radio trucks and broadcast messages for different religious groups from there, and I'm sure all over the world. And that's what I was involved in, that sort of broadcast. These guys really sound like they have a nice setup of turntables.
Yeah, they do, and especially to have access to that music and the range of music that they had at that time. And
right.
It is a pretty good range. And there is.
But there again, that's available from any barracks. And any, I mean, the people in the service were rapidly finding themselves with lots of money and nothing to do with it. And unless you were pushing the bush, you could buy
so it was conceivable
lots of
that
albums.
It was conceivable that you could find that music.
Yeah, yeah.
But it did sound like they had two turntables, which yeah. is a... important consideration here.
Right, more than you can fit in a truck or an airplane. It sounds like a fairly clean operation, and that's I'd really like to find out where and how and who and when. So there. So if any of you know, I know you just hung up, but you can call back again. We'll talk to you.
Mm-hmm. We sure will.
Yeah, we had a caller that called in a little while ago and said that he believed that this was a U.S. Armed Forces broadcast done sort of incognito.
For the staff, yeah, using the, right. You couldn't really use Armed Forces radio circuits because they would obviously jump down your throat right away, but I'm thinking that the people could be from those areas, and to relieve the tension of working in a place like Armed Forces Radio, it might be nice to go off to...
It's even conceivable that it was a propaganda effort on their part. I mean, it was a very sophisticated...
Techniques
that they use of... there was so much rebellion going on in the military in Vietnam that I'm sure they tried to jump ahead of it as much as they tried mm-hmm. to squash it.
Absolutely
so
right.
So without any... You know, it's really hard to say just from hearing 87 minutes or 38 minutes of this tape what exactly Dave Rabbit's role in the world was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Aside from bringing a lot of fantastic
and
music.
Even in the hallway, I was talking to people who don't think that this existed or have a strong feeling that this might not have existed. So it's just for that alone, I like it. Just for all the
ambiguity.
Yeah.
It's great.
All the questions that come up just from a radio broadcast, which, like I say, I think is original and authentic just because of my own experiences working in the same kind of places with one turntable.
Hmm. Okay, well... Regardless of the questionability of it, a lot of people seem to enjoy it. So, want to start letting you know that if you have been enjoying this program while we're listening to Graham Nash talking about better days, we're talking about better days for KPFA. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is by getting you to subscribe or to renew your subscription here for KPFA. Isn't that right, Russ? We need the help.
That's so right. Mm-hmm. It's broadcasts like this that just really make me excited to be part of this station, you know, where something comes to us because of who we are, and we can play it on the air and share it with so many thousands of people. It's exciting to be in the center of that kind of a maelstrom, if you mm-hmm. want to call
absolutely.
It
absolutely. And nowhere else.
Nowhere else. Alexis came to us, you know, because he had a respect for us. He's not even from this area. I mean, he's just temporarily here, and this is where he came with that tape. And
No question about that, Russ.
All right on.
Where else could you go?
After I just put words in his mouth, he came through and backed me up. Mm-hmm. But that's the other part of that excitement is the fact that the reason we can do it is because we're listener-sponsored, and we're not. We don't have to clear it with any corporation or government agency. We can just put something like this on the air for our audience's entertainment, but mostly in this case, it's an important part of our past that we have to come to grips with and really understand, and we can do that because we're listener sponsored and we're really not vulnerable to governmental pressure or corporate pressure, so we have the freedom to do this. And the listener sponsorship part is where all of the listeners out there listening now come in. We know a lot of you are listening. We got a whole lot of calls during that tape, and you can call 848-5732 right now, and you know, put some money into this station to keep it alive and keep this kind of freedom.
Mm-hmm. Demonstrate that appreciation.
We've got a goal right now of about $500 in the next 10, 12 minutes. And a lot of people say KPFA's listeners cannot do it because we're all plugged out and we're all pledged out. But I don't believe that. I believe from all the phone calls we've got in here that we've got people out there that do want to help and will help KPFA. And we see one of them on the line right now. We need at least, I'd say,
four
at least
more.
Four more to light them all the way up across the board. So we need you to dial area code 415-848-5732. There goes one more.
Boy,
here comes another. All right, let's get them going. Let's get them going all the way across the board. We've got people back there waiting to talk with you, waiting to take your pledge. And it happened. We know that a lot of things went wrong, and Steve and David have pointed out so much. David lost his father there in Vietnam, and for that, you know, for him to have come in and done the interviews that he did earlier was, I think, absolutely magnificent. So we need to learn those lessons, and one of the ways that we can do it is by reading the Short Timers Journal 1 and 2. They're both contained in one volume, so you can read both of these sets of experiences, Steve's and the other gentlemen involved in this publication. So, Steve, you had something you want to say?
Well, just to give people an idea of what is in the first and second volume, the first volume pertains to it covers things like Walking Point, what it was like to be a tunnel rat for 9 months, being in the hospital several different times, and things like that. The second volume covers an aspect of the war that not too many people know about. One was the Chu Hoi Project, which was a surrender program that the military gave out so that the Vietnamese could surrender and then be relocated and taken out of the war. And the problems that the operative had in doing the job in that sense. And then one is of a man that was a Marine interrogator in Northern I Corps and what that person went through. So people can get a very broad range of just what, from three different people's experiences, you can see that the war was so insane that, you know, you have to read about it and you have to learn about it, so because they're going to do it again. I mean, there's no difference from the Phoenix program now, I mean then, and what is happening in the CIA covert manual that everybody's ranting and raving about. I mean, and without KPFA and programs like this, a lot of information will not get out. I mean, I have children, and I do not want to see them coming back in boxes. So, you know, all I can say is just support this station.
848-5732, 848-KPFA. We've gotten several calls. I think there still might be copies available. If you want to give us a call right now to subscribe to listener-sponsored radio, it's the